Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of March 18, 2022. This week we pray for those injured in wars throughout the world. We pray for God's wisdom and guidance for those who truly lead in the world and for a righting of injustices, and that God's truth everywhere would be brought to light. We also pray for those dealing with disease, injury, and those requiring healing. Thank you for listening week after week. If the podcast has been a blessing, please share it with a friend. On weeks where the podcast is long, you may decide to break up the listening over a few days. This week, I'm making a change to the format to facilitate getting through the book of Exodus more quickly. So I will be doing two chapters of Exodus for now each week. After we finish Exodus together, I would like to take our podcast to one of the Gospels. So we begin with the lesson from the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.' We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Our next reading is from the 13th chapter of St. Luke. This is our gospel reading. "There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered them, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans, because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable: "A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, 'Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?' And he answered him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down.'" The text from our discussion is from Exodus chapter 25. End chapter 26. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the people of Israel, that they take from me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contributions for me. And this is the contribution that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram's skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all its furniture you shall make it. They shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and outside shall you overlay it, and you shall make on it a molding of gold around it. You shall cast four rings of gold for it and put them on its 4 feet, two rings on the one side of it and two rings on the other side of it. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark by them. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its breadth. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Of hammered work shall you make them, on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on the one end, and 1 cherub on the other end. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat shall you make the cherubim on its 2 ends. The cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings, their faces one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. You shall make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold around it. And you shall make a rim around it, 1 handbreadth wide, and a molding of gold around the rim. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold, and fasten the rings to the 4 corners at its 4 legs. Close to the frame the rings shall lie, as holders for the poles to carry the table. You shall make the poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, and the table shall be carried with these. And you shall make its plates and dishes for incense, and its flagons, and bowls with which to pour drink offerings. You shall make them of pure gold, and you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me regularly. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work, its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of 1 piece with it. And there shall be 6 branches going out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side of it, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side of it, 3 cups made with almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower, on 1 branch, and 3 cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower, on the other branch, so for the 6 branches going out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself, there shall be 4 cups made like almond blossoms, with their calyxes and flowers, and 1 calyx of 1 piece with it, under each pair of the 6 branches going out from the lampstand. Their calyxes and their branches shall be of 1 piece with it, the whole of it a single piece of hammered work of pure gold. You shall make 7 lamps for it, and the lamp shall be set up as to give light on the space in front of it. Its tongs and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made with all these utensils out of 1 talent of pure gold. And see that you make them after the pattern for them, which is being shown you on the mountain. Exodus chapter 26. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet yarns. You shall make them with cherubim skillfully worked into them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits. All the curtains shall be the same size. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. And you shall make loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain in the first set. Likewise, you shall make loops on the edge of the outermost curtain in the second set. 50 loops you shall make on the 1 curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is in the second set. The loops shall be opposite one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains one to the other with the clasps, so that the tabernacle may be a single whole. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair, For a tent over the tabernacle, 11 curtains shall you make. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits. The 11 curtains shall be the same size. You shall couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and the 6th curtain you shall double over at the front of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the second set. You shall make 50 clasps of bronze, and put the clasps into the loops, and couple the tent together that it may be a single whole. And the part that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle, and the extra that remains in the length of the curtains, the cubit on the one side, and the cubit on the other side, shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and that side to cover it. And you shall make for the tent a covering of tanned ram skins, and a covering of goat skins on top. You shall make upright frames for the tabernacle of acacia wood. 10 cubits shall be the length of a frame, and a cubit and a half the breadth of each frame. There shall be 2 tenons in each frame for fitting together. So shall you do for all the frames of the tabernacle. You shall make the frames for the tabernacle, 20 frames for the south side, and 40 bases of silver you shall make under the 20 frames. 2 bases under one frame for its 2 tenons, and 2 bases under the next frame for its 2 tenons, and for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side 20 frames, and their 40 bases of silver, 2 bases under one frame, and 2 bases under the next frame, and for the rear of the tabernacle westward you shall make 6 frames, and you shall make 2 frames for corners of the tabernacle in the rear. They shall be separate beneath, but joined at the top at the first ring. Thus shall it be with both of them. They shall form the 2 corners. And there shall be 8 frames with their bases of silver, 16 bases, 2 bases under one frame, and 2 bases under another frame. You shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the frames of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the frames of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the frames of the side of the tabernacle at the rear westward. The middle bar, halfway up the frame, shall run from end to end. You shall overlay the frames with gold, and shall make their rings of gold for holders for the bars, and you shall overlay the bars with gold. Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to the plan for it that you were shown on the mountain, and you shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. It shall be made with cherubim skillfully worked into it. And you shall hang it on 4 pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, with hooks of gold, on 4 bases of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps, and bring the ark of the testimony in there within the veil. And the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And you shall set the table outside the veil, and the lampstand on the south side of the tabernacle opposite the table, and you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the entrance of the tent, of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen embroidered with needlework. And you shall make for the screen 5 pillars of acacia and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, and you shall cast 5 bases of bronze for them. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. When you think of your giving at church, there are all kinds of things that people give as contributions. It is possible people may have different motives for giving, as we see in the narrative of Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. But in most all cases, we hope that the motive of contributions is simply because people want to give of the gifts that God has given because they have been blessed. Note that the gifts were to be given from every man whose heart moves him. The gifts were not compelled. These were gifts like the first fruits that Abel gave out of a faithful and loving heart. As it was in the Old Testament, Abram offered a tenth of everything to Melchizedek, who was the high priest of God Most High, the Heavenly Father, in Genesis chapter 14. This was at Salem, what we believe to be Jerusalem. Jacob offered a tenth of everything to God in Genesis 28. If everyone gave a full tenth to God in their congregations, churches would have plenty to care for their ministries and their outreaches and social ministries and communities and beyond. Even 5% would make a huge difference. There were times in history when it wasn't government who provided for the needs of those who needed help, but people often came to the church for help. And churches still help, but there has been a trend toward more debt in society and high taxation, and so both of those things affect people's giving. We don't give because God needs our offerings. We give because God gave to us first. And we love Him. We give of our first fruits. We give out of faith and thankfulness. There's no stipulation on how much we give. There's no limit to our giving. We simply have examples of the patriarchs in the Old Testament. If we give a tithe of 10% from the first, we will often realize we can live off the other 90% that God provides to us. In fact, I've heard many a story where folks went through challenging times and God always provided. When you can't see the future, though, giving can be a fearful thing. We can ask ourselves, will I have enough? And so that may cause us to hold back. We might have settled into the idea of giving that income is the only way we can give, but that is not true at all. People give with their time and their talents, and sometimes of their goods as well, because God has gifted us with all of these things. It is always a blessing when we share of our music, our teaching, our technical skills, and even our areas of work, such as helping with a legal matter, nursing skill as a parish nurse, or our engineering, electrical, or agricultural training. The possibilities for offering what God has given us are limitless. And we all ought to receive what God gives, including in the parish, with gratitude and thankfulness. We all ought to pray regarding how ministry is conducted and how the gifts that people give are used. Exodus 25 is about the Israelites giving of what God has given them. Who would ever think that a former slave would have gold, silver, bronze, or fine materials? Where did they get such things? God gave it to them. The slaves, Israel, were given favor in the sight of the Egyptians as they were preparing to go out from the land of Egypt. The people were to ask of their neighbors for silver and gold jewelry and clothing. The people were to put them on their sons and daughters and would carry all of this out of Egypt as plunder. You can read about this at the end of Exodus 3. The children of Israel are to give contributions for the sanctuary of the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a moving tent that goes with the Israelites. It is a moving place of worship. We've heard of the tent revivals, especially in earlier times in America, and sometimes things like that are conducted today. But could you imagine if our churches had sanctuaries that moved about in our communities and localities? That would be an interesting concept, wouldn't it? You think, where's church today? Yet, that is the way that things operated with Israel. The people were to give contributions for the tabernacle, gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns of linen and goat's hair. Acacia wood was given, oil for lamps, spices, and fragrant incense, onyx, and precious stones, and all were to be used in the sanctuary of the tabernacle. There was a tremendous amount of wealth that was used. As I recall, among the ancient Greeks, I forget which philosopher, I think it was Plato, believed that in some ethereal place there was an ideal. They suggested that earthly things, like a chair, were based on an ideal thing in some ethereal place, a perfect version of that chair somewhere. That is a big assumption, which is not necessarily true. But in Scripture, God does bring about things in the Old Testament which are models of bigger things to come, even models of heavenly things. When the New Testament fulfills a picture of a model in the Old Testament, it becomes clear. We don't yet get to see the things on the heavenly side of the equation, but in the tabernacle, God is very specific on the way the tabernacle should be constructed and operate. He shows all these things to Moses. It's described that he showed these things to Moses on the mountain. So it was very specific. Sacrifice is a picture of the greater thing, which is Christ dying on our behalf on the cross to take away our sins. Blood atones for sin. Animals were sacrificed to pay for sin and to mark covenants. God never asked for human sacrifice, but he did give his very own son on our behalf to pay for sin. The Ark of the Covenant is made of wood and coated in pure gold, inside and out. It was to be carried with poles, and it was a holy object. In it was to be placed the testimony of God, the Ten Commandments, and a few other items. Images of cherubim, angels, were found on the top of the ark, overshadowing what was called the mercy seat. It was from the mercy seat that God spoke to Moses. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 22, it says, "There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel." It becomes more or less a type of things to come. If God speaks here in the midst of the tabernacle in the Old Testament from the mercy seat, later he speaks through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is God tabernacled in human flesh. In the Gospels, we see the new tabernacle, Jesus moving in the midst of the people, speaking to them, ministering to them, healing, comforting, and caring for them. He does not come in a fearful way, but is one of them. In the tabernacle is the bread of the presence placed on the table regularly before God. Remember, we have here a type, a model of greater and new things to come. As we understand, when we speak the words of institution for Holy Communion, Christ tells us of the bread and of the wine, "This is my body, this is my blood." God's presence is there in those things. When we receive this sacrament, we are receiving what Christ tells us it is. God is truly present. This is not some esoteric, symbolic kind of thing. God comes to us in Holy Communion, forgiving our sins with his presence. He heals our souls and cleanses us of our sins. Only God can do this. We cannot make it happen of our own ability. It is God who justifies us. It is not something that we have earned. It is something that God does for us. The lampstand is a beautiful lampstand, and even the decorations of flowers are specified upon it. God has specified everything that he has in mind. I used to subscribe to a magazine called Fine Woodworking. It is not that I am a fine woodworker in that sense, but they had specific instructions on how classic, tried and true furniture and fine pieces are made. If you followed those instructions to a T, with a little skill and careful workmanship, you could create a piece of fine furniture. God lays out the instructions carefully for the Israelites. Everything for the tabernacle is laid out. I suppose the workmen would have had the specific skill for fleshing out the instructions that God had given, especially because God had gifted them with these abilities. But many of the things that he instructed them to make were shown Moses on the mountain. They were specified. Now we move on to Exodus chapter 26. The curtains of the tabernacle were created with skillful workmanship. Images of the angelic cherubim are worked into the design. We too can appreciate works made with great skill. Some people look at a price tag and say immediately that an item is not worth it, but those with a discerning eye know skill when they see it. You can quickly tell when you are working with good machinery. It operates with smoothness and precision. Finally made things show themselves. God lays out everything here, including the numbers of loops and everything. Often, there's significance to the numbers given, just like the Ark of Noah. In that instance, God gave measurements, which laid out an ark that would be stable in furious storms and waves of the flood, laying it out much like a barge is configured. It had to be that way. Bronze clasps are made for the curtains, and the frames for the tabernacle are made of acacia wood. There is an enormous amount of wool and animal skins used in this project, as well as precious metals. Each curtain shall be 28 by 4 cubits, with 5 curtains coupled one to another, so you have a length of 140 cubits here, there. A cubit had standard measurements, but a good guideline for what a cubit is the length of the elbow to the tip of the middle finger for one cubit. A covering shall be over the tabernacle of 11 curtains, each 30 by 4 cubits. 5 and 6 curtains will be couples, and the sixth curtain will be doubled over the front of the tent. The part that is extra will hang over the back. There's also a cubit that hangs over the sides of the tabernacle for covering it. The frames for the tent will be made of acacia wood. Tenons are the method of joinery for the frames, with 10 cubits by a cubit and a half height for each frame. 20 frames for the south side, with 40 bases of silver under them, and the north side, likewise, another 20 frames. There would be a rear structure to the tabernacle. The model and plan for this was shown Moses on the mountain, so it is likely that the plans Moses received on the mountain were much more specific. The description that we have in Exodus 26 are to give us an idea, a general picture of what this thing will look like. The frames for the rear structure of the tabernacle are to be overlaid in gold. Again, the model for this was given on the mountain, so the earthly things are being modeled after what God wants. Sometimes they model things to come, sometimes they model heavenly things. For the area where the ark was to be kept, blue, purple, and scarlet used in the curtains of the tabernacle were not only skillfully woven, but extremely colorful, and blue and purple were difficult to come by and thus were considered royal colors. This is precious dye. Cherubim were depicted on the curtains made of linen, hung on pillars of acacia, overlaid with gold. The Ark of the Testimony was kept within this veil, separating the holy place from the most holy. Places were specified for the tabernacle furniture. The entrance for the tent was to be embroidered with needlework. There are depictions of what the tabernacle must have looked like, and these are a fascinating fleshing out of the descriptions that were given in Exodus chapter 25 and 26. When you think of the most holy place where the ark was kept, the curtains there were made out of linen. Jesus is the greater tabernacle. He is God clothed in human flesh. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle was a place where God spoke to his people as they traveled, other than on the mountain. In John chapter 19, we learn that Jesus had a seamless tunic, which, rather than ripping, the soldiers cast lots for when Jesus was crucified. It doesn't say of what this tunic was made. Was it made of wool? I'm guessing no, that would have been awfully heavy, but we do learn that Jesus' burial clothes and garments were made out of linen. That is what the tent where the Ark of the Covenant is made out of. We should always be considering that the Old Testament is always modeling things to come and not take similarities for granted. God is always using the Old Testament to point to his Son, Jesus Christ. And he confirms at Jesus' baptism and at the Transfiguration that this is his beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. Jesus fulfills all the important things, and he fulfills all righteousness and completes the task of salvation for us. We are unworthy, born into sinful human flesh, and so God breaks into this world that he might rescue us out of sin, death, and the power of the devil. We are completely and totally dependent on his grace, mercy, and love. Remember that he came in order that you might have life and salvation. And when you encounter people who may seem down on themselves, remind them that Jesus has fulfilled all righteousness and salvation for them as well. Their sins are forgiven. He has done this for us. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you have fulfilled the righteousness that we could not possibly have fulfilled in our inherited sinfulness. Forgive our sins and restore us. covering us with your righteous blood in which we are washed, that we might have eternal life. Help us every day to remember your gracious promises for us. We pray this in your holy name, O Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for innocent people throughout the world who are caught in the midst of war. We pray for those who have been injured that you'd bring them healing. And we pray for the families of those who have been killed in conflicts. We pray that you'd help them to remember the promise of life and resurrection in your Son, Jesus. Help them to look to you. Lord, we pray for your wisdom and guidance for those who truly lead in the world, for a righting of injustices everywhere, and that your truth everywhere would be brought to light. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for those dealing with any disease, injury, those requiring healing. Help them to look to you and help them to know that you're with them in their time of need. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. The next few verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, our special verses for the day, are very helpful for those dealing with temptation. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. All of our verses, all of our scriptures, are from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Savior, when in dust to thee, though we bow the adoring knee, when repentant to the skies, scarce we lift our weeping eyes. O, by all thy pains and woes, suffered once for us below, bending from thy throne on high, hear our penitential cry. By thy helpless infant years, by thy life of wanton tears, by thy days of deep distress, in the savage wilderness, by thy dread mysterious hour of the insulting tempter's power, turn, O turn, a favoring thy, hear our penitential cry. By thine hour of dire despair, by thine agony of prayer, by the cross, the nail, the thorn, piercing spear and torturing scorn, by the gloom that veiled the skies, o'er the dreadful sacrifice, listen to our humble sigh, hear our penitential cry. By thy deep expiring groan, by the sad sepulchral stone, by the vault whose dark abode held in vain the rising God, O, from earth to heaven restored, mighty. throne on high, hear our penitential cry.